Okay, Rabbi Sai, today's daf is daf Tez Vav. We're starting at the Mishnah at the very top of the Yomid. Says the Mishnah, Tikra She'ein Oleha Ma'aziva. You have a house where the ceiling has Nasarim. Nasarim are wooden boards. And as we learned yesterday, the standard sizes at those days, in those days, was 4 Tfachim wide. That was the standard size of Nasarim. And this tikra, the ceiling, did not have any plaster. So they had a bunch of boards, one next to each other, but no plaster that was on those boards holding them together. Now the question is, can I use this for a sukkah? So says the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, I have machloikis beishami beisil. Beishami Omer mefakpeik, v'noitel achas mi bein tayim. Beishamai says, if you want to have a kosher sukkah without having to build a separate special structure, you want to be able to use the ceiling in your dining room or in your living room at home for your sukkah, you have four walls, you have these boards on top, says Rabbi Yehuda, according to Beishamai, there are two things that you're going to have to do if you want to make a sukkah in your own home. Number one, mefakpik. Mefakpik means to go and pull out the nails that are holding the boards in place and taking those boards and giving them a shakel. In other words, you move them a drop up, a drop down, like we had before when you have to shakel the schach. Here you're going to shakel these boards, which are your schach. So mefakpik, he has to go and undo them, pick them up, move them a drop, and the neutral achas bin time. Take out every middle nasar and fill it up instead with kosher schach. So instead of having the moshul, I don't know, five nasarim on top of your ceiling, you'll only have three, because between one and three you'll take out one nasar, one board, and fill it up with schach. And between three and five you'll take out another nasar and you fill it up with schach. So you have the schach on top. We'll soon see in the Gemara what's the purpose of the pikpuk, what's the purpose of removing one and filling it up with schach. Beisilla says, no, you don't have to do both. You're mafakpik. Oy noitel achas bin time. Either you take out one, either you go and remove the nails and pick up the boards and move them around a little bit, and then put them back into place. Or, noitel achas bin tayim, you can go and take out one board in between and put in the schach, like Beis Shammai said. So Beis Shammai requires both pikpuk and replacement of some of the schach, and Beis Hillel requires one of the two. We'll soon see in the Gemara what the machloikis is, why Beis Shammai says you need both, and Beis Hillel says you only need one. All you gotta do is take out some of the boards, put in some schach in between. You don't have to go and pull up or take out the nails of the remaining nasarim. Leave those nasarim there. All you have to do is the netila achas mi bintai. And whenever it's a netila achas mi bintai, it means to go and fill it up with kosher schach. So now the Gemara analyzes each one individually to understand where we're coming from. So Gemara, Bishlam Beis Hillel Tamay. Beis Hillel goes Lishitasam Mishum Tase Veloi Mina Osui. When these boards were put up in the top of my ceiling in my dining room, these were not meant for a sukkah. These were meant for a normal, regular house. That being the case, these were not made the Shei Mitzvah Sukkah. If I want to now use those boards, give them to height. However, they are Mina Osui. Mina Osui means that they were originally put up Bipaslus. Now, why were they put up Bipaslus? Number one, because they weren't L'Shem Sukkah. And for that matter, they weren't even L'Shem Tzeil. They were L'Shem a house. You didn't go and put up these boards because you wanted to have a nice shack, a nice shed in the back of your house, a nice picnic area in the back of your house. It wasn't for the shame tzeil during the summer months. It wasn't the shame sukkah. It was the shame a house. In such a case, it would be posel because it's osui. Osui means that it was made bipsul, not al da'atoi, to make a sukkah shel tzel or a sukkah for sukkahs. And therefore says our Gemara, what do you have to do? You have to do a tase. You have to go and make that schach on top of the sukkah, l'shem mitzvah sukkah. Ah, that's the reason why, says the Gemara, imafakpik obed le'maisa, if he goes and undoes the nasarim. But remember, it's relatively easy because there's no plaster. So all he has to do is pick up those boards, move them a drop, put them back down, so you'll have a tasa. Or inoitul achas v'mentayim. Or if he wants to, leave some of the boards there and take out some of the others, and by putting in some new schach and removing some of the old boards, ovelay maisa, that too shows that he wants to go and convert this from an osui situation to a tasa situation. Chag HaSukkah is tasa l'choshev asyamim. He's making this schach l'shem mitzvah sukkah. So that's why Beisil requires one of the two. Ela Beishamai Maitamayu. What would be the reason for Beishamai? Imishum tasa v'lemina osui. B'chodesagi. Let him agree to Beis Hillel just to do one of the two. Either mefakpek or noitel achas v'bentayim. But Beis Shammai requires both. Mefakpek, then noitel achas v'bentayim. Elamai, maybe because Beis Shammai holds imishum gzeiras tikro. You remember we had in the Mishnah yesterday, a machloikas of Yehuda and Remeir, whether you can go and use nasorim for the top of your sukkah. Nasar means, again, boards. How wide were the boards? So you remember we had a machloikis between Rav and Shmuel as to what the machloikis was between Reb Meir and Reb Yehud. According to Rav, and our Gemara at the moment is going according to Rav, the machloikis was b'shiyesh bohen arbo'o. The machloikis was where the boards were four wide. Where a mayor says, I'm going to mishum gzeiras tikra. What's the gzeiras tikra? Remember Rashi said yesterday, gzeiras tikra is, if a person sees how they're building sukkahs by putting on four tfachim wide boards, he looks at his own ceiling in his home and he says, you know, this is ridiculous. Here in my dining room, look above. We use the exact same four tefachim wide boards. Why do I have to go and build a separate sukkah? It's cold outside. It's raining outside. Who needs it? I'll just stay inside my house. I have the same boards. And therefore said Remeir yesterday, I'm goyzim mishum gzeiras tikra, that a person will say, let me stay at home. What do I have to go out for? It's the same ticker, the same boards. Said the mayor, you cannot go and use the four tvachim boards. What you can do is use three tvachim boards. That's okay. And two and one for sure. But you can't go and use the four tvachim boards. This is according to Rav. Shmuel had a different explanation, but let's get to Shmuel later on in the daf. So says the Gemara, so by Shammai, what's the reason why he requires both? If he's only concerned about tasa v'lemina osui v'chodesagi, one of the two, pickbook, or the netilas achas b'mintayim, should do the trick. Because with that he has shown that I am now putting on schach l'shem mitzvah sukkah. Elamai imishum gzeiras tikra once again means that he's going to go and confuse his own ceiling with the ceiling of a sukkah and say, what do I have to leave my home for? All he has to do is take out one of the boards in between. You don't need to do pickbook, because by removing one of the boards, that in itself will show, I am now making a sukkah, l'shem sukkahs. Remember, it's not just the removal of the board, but also you have to do a filler. You have to go and put in kosher eschach in between. And then Rashi adds, as we learned in the Gemara yesterday, it's talking about not only does he take out one of these boards, but really he has to go and take out two of the boards in between, so that he fills up one with four tvachim of schach. He fills the other space with four tvachim of schach. We now have eight tvachim together of kosher schach. so he can always sit beneath those eight tefachim. But what about all of those non-kosher nasorim, the non-kosher boards which he's leaving there to the right and to the left? Says Rashi, as you recall, we said yesterday in the Gemara, our Mishnah is talking about that the sukkah was shmoina amois mitzumtzumois, it was eight amois. By the fact that it was eight amois, any non-kosher nasorim to the right and any non-kosher nasorim to the left will all be taken over, subsumed in what we call doifen akuma, that we have a wall that is not straight, but it is a crooked wall. You have the vertical wall, and you have the continuation of the vertical wall horizontally at the top of the sukkah with a non-kosher nasorim. Just make sure that in between the nasorim, take out two down the middle. We'll have now eight beautiful tefachim of kosher schach, and hakol mekayim yav b'shalom, I have a beautiful sukkah. So frek di Gemara, why does Beishami require both pikpuk and netilas achas bin bintayim? If you do the netilah bin bintayim, you'll accomplish both, meaning number one, you won't have a tas of lemon osui because you're putting a brand new schach, and number two, you won't have a gzeiras tikra problem because you have, it's not your normal nasorim of four boards of four tefachim wide, but in fact you'll have beautiful schach down the middle. Evidently, oilo mishum gzeiras tikra. The truth of the matter, he's concerned about the gzeiras tikra, that a person is going to confuse his own boards in his home with the boards of the sukkah and say, what do I need this for? What Beishama is really saying is, even if he went and loosened the boards and took out the nails, picked the boards up, moved them around, put them back in place, which l'chayra takes care of the ta'aseh v'loy mina osui issue, but it doesn't take care of the gzeiras tikra issue. In noitel achas v'mentayim, in if he takes out some of the boards in between and puts down schach, then it's great because now I won't have the gzeiras tikra. Eloi, but if I don't take out some of the boards and put in good schach, no good. So that's what Beishami says. Even the Lashon of a Mishnah doesn't sound like that, because if you go to the second line of the Mishnah, Beishami oimim mefakpik, then noitel achas v'bintayim. The way the Gemara is currently interpreting Beishami, the Mishnah is saying is, even if you were mefakpik, no good. You still gotta be noitel achas v'bintayim. And what does Beis Hillel hold? Beis Hillel says, I don't hold of the Gzeiras Tikra. Why doesn't Beis Hillel hold of the Gzeiras Tikra? Because this is Rabbi Yehuda speaking. Rabbi Yehuda yesterday in the Mishnah said, Misachachim bin Asorim, I don't hold of the Gzeiras Tikra. All Rabbi Yehuda is doing in today's Mishnah, he's making, if you will, a partial concession to Reb Meir, and saying, yes, Reb Meir, there is a man d'yomer that agrees with you that we have to be gozer gzeiras tikra. But you know who that man d'yomer is? That's Beishamai. But as we know, 99% of the time we don't paskin like Beishamai, we paskin like Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel holds like me, says Rabbi Yehuda, that you don't have to go and take out the schach. You can if you want to, but you don't have to, because I don't hold of gzeiras tikra. Okay, so that's the machloekis Beisham Beisil according to Rabbi Yehuda, but let's go to the mayor now. Freitimori hochi yeima say for a mayor, oimer, noitel achas mimintayima v'loi yefakpeik. Just take out one of them, you don't have to worry about pikpuk. Now who just said that? That was Beishamai, right? How do we just say according to Beishamai? Beishamai said, even though it says in the Mishnah, mefakpeik v'noitel achas, the Gemara just said, no, hochi kama. Even though he took one out, even though he did pikpuk, which means he took out some of the nails and picked up some of the boards and put them down again, that doesn't help. Doesn't help. You gotta take out some of the bad nasarim, because Beishamai holds like Reb Meir that the only way to kosherize this schach it by putting in kosher schach. If you leave there the bad nasarim, doesn't help because of the gzeiras tikra. If that's the case, Ramey is saying exactly the same thing. Ramey says, forget about pikpuk. Noitel achas min bintayim v'yenim avak peik. So, Bishamim and Ramey are exactly the same. Everything Mahachi Kamar. Remember, it's Rabbi Yehuda that started off the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda said, there's a machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Well, Beis Shammai requires Netila Achas mi Bintayim, and Beis Hillel does not require Netila Achas mi Bintayim. Zok Yetztigmara, Hachi Kamar. Remeir responds now to Rabbi Yehuda and says, my dear colleague Rabbi Yehuda, with all due respect, Beis Shammai u Beis Hillel bedover. There is no machlokes. Both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel both agree that there is a gezeiras tikra. Don't bother with this pikpuk business. It's limale v'limorid. All you have to do is take out some of the bad nasarim, because they have the gezeiras tikra, put in some nuschach, and shalom al Yisrael, it'll be a kosher sikra, it'll be a kosher sukkah, and everything will be great. So that's what Rabbi Meir is saying. Pray Timur my kamash malon. So the chayre, now that the dust has settled on the pshat in the Mishnah, what's the machloikis in the Mishnah? To Rameir is like Zeres Tikra. Rabbi Yehuda less like Zeres Tikra. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda yesterday said, Mesachachin bin Asarim, you can go and use regular four tfachim wide boards for schach over your sukkah. I'm not worried about Gezeres Tikra. And Rameir said, oh no, don't do that, because the person will be confused. And he'll say, if you can use boards for the sukkah, why do I have to move out of my house? Take a look at my ceiling up above. All of those boards are four tvachim wide. Manishtana, why do I have to get out of my comfortable house? I'm so happy eating and sleeping at home. The exact same boards. And that's why the Meir said, don't use those boards for a sukkah. So now, the way we interpret in the Mishnah, our Mishnah today is just a repeat performance, where Rabbi Yehuda says, Beis Shammai taka holds like Rabbi Meir. But forget about Beis Shammai, we paskin like Beis Hillel. And what does Beis Hillel say? One of the two is enough, either be mefakbik or neutral achas be bintayim, because you don't need to have, I don't believe in gezeiras tikra. You can leave all the nasarim there, you do not have to go and switch or pull out any nasar. Only thing is, you gotta pick them up and put them down, because of the fact that you have the problem of tasa v'loim and osri. But there is no gzeiras tikra issue. I, Yehuda, lishitasi, say according to Beis Hillel, no problem, you do not have to go and substitute and replace any of the schach. Rameir says, no, you do have to replace, because I have gzeiras tikra. It's the same machloikis. Pray to Yomora, my kamashmalam, the Rameir is the gzeiras tikra. Rabbi Yehuda less the gzeiras tikra. V'efligi b'chod zimna. And now the Gemara quotes yesterday's Mishnah, Nan, Mesachachim ben Asarim divrei Rabbi Yehuda. You can use Nasarim, no problem, no Gezeiras Tikra. For a Meir Oyser, Rabbi Meir says, no, you're not allowed to use Nasarim because of the Gezeiras Tikra. It's Takishver, why are we repeating the same Machloikis twice? Omer B'chia Bar Abba, Omer B'yoichanan, Reisha ben Asarim Meshupin Askinan. A brand new pshat in yesterday's Mishnah. The Mishnah yesterday was not talking about Gezeiras Tikra, it was talking about Gezeiras Kalim. What does that mean? Now, Sorim Meshupim means I have nicely smoothed out, polished, finished Nasorim planks of wood, like lumber that you use for purposes of constructing a house, or to go and make fancy French or Italian furniture. The Nasarim Meshupim, nicely smoothed out, you took what they call a plane, and you smoothed it out, and then you polished it, and it looks really, really beautiful. Now, Min HaToira, there is no din of Tumah on these Nasarim, because these Nasarim are Pshutei Klei Eitz. Pshutei Klei Eitz means that they are wood that has no base kibble. It has no room for holding anything inside. It's not a cup. It's not a plate. It's just a flat surface. So min ha-Torah, there is no din of Kabbalah's Tum. So therefore I could use it for my schach. But it's Xeris Kalim Naguba. Xeris Kalim means that if I see this finished lumber, this finished wood, that's been nicely polished and smoothed out and really looks great, and I say that you can use this for the top of your sukkah, someone will say, you know, what difference does it make between these Nasarim and something else which has Toras Kalim to it, which is also a finished product? The only difference is that those Kalim do have a base kibble. So a person will think, Manishtana, who cares? What difference does it make between these Nasarim and between regular Kalim? Ah, that's the Gezeira of yesterday, having nothing to do with Gezeira's Tikra, but having to do with Gezeira's Kalim. Kalim specifically, that I'm going to assume that there's no difference between Pshutei Klei Eitz, which are kosher for a sukkah, and Kalim, meaning, for instance, Eitzim, that do have a base kibble, and I'll say those are also kosher for a sukkah. Manishtana. Because of that, said Remeir in yesterday's Mishnah, don't use Nasar. Freit Imara, is that really the pshat in yesterday's Mishnah? Ul Rehuda Omar Abdi Omar. Remember we had a couple of days ago in the Gemara that there's a difference between using the arrow shafts, which are Zecharim, and those which are Nekevois. And we explained, what does it mean, Zecharim and Nekevois? After all, a shaft is an inanimate object. And the difference between Zecharim and Nekevois is that when you connect the arrow shaft to the arrow itself being typically a piece of metal, the arrow shaft being typically wood, how do you squeeze one into the other? Either the wooden shaft has a protrusion which goes into a hole of the metal arrow, or the other way around, that the wooden shaft has a hole and then you insert the metal arrow into the shaft. What difference does it make? It's a very simple difference. If you're talking about a shaft that has no hole in it, but rather has this protruding piece of wood that you fit into the hole of the metal arrow, then it's again Pshutei Klei Eitz. It does not have a base kibble. It's kosher for sukkah, for schach. And that's what we call the chitzim zechor. On the other hand, if you have shafts that have a hole in it, which allow for the metal arrow to be placed and inserted in that hole, then that hole makes this into a base kibble. That's what the Gemara refers to as chitzim nekevois. Chitzim nekevois are possible for schach because it's ro'oi lekabel tuma. And that's what Yudom Rav said, the yom is chocha b'chitzim z'charim is kosher, b'sheira, menekevois p'sula. Now, the Gemara asked a couple of days ago, what's the chidush? V'shteitzach. This is mekabel tuma, this is not mekabel tuma. Says, yom v'le gozer z'charimot nekevois. We didn't make a gzeira of z'charimot nekevois, even though to the average individual, what difference does it make? I put the shaft into the arrow, I put the arrow into the shaft. Come on, give me a break. What's the difference? And therefore, the choyra, I should make such a gezeira, says Rav, I am not gozer. So if that's the case, hachanami over here, I should also not be gozer. Loi nigzer nisorim mishupin otu kelim. Because it's the exact same gezeira. That I have Nasar and Meshupim, which look like very nice finished products, but it's a Pshutei Klei Eitz, and I say that I want to make a Gezeira according to the mayor. What's a Gezeira? Or to real Kalim where there is a base kibble. But I see Rav Yehuda Merav is not so Goyzer. Are you telling me the mayor is Goyzer? So he's going to go and tell me, no, don't ask me a kasha b'yudah marav on Remeir. After all, Remeir happens to be a Tana. You're absolutely correct. But Rashi points out that normally when it comes to gezeirois, halacha k'Remeir b'gezeirois sov, and therefore if Remeir is Gozer, we also normally paskin like Rav, what is Rav, because halacha kirav b'dini, halacha kishmul b'mamayni. So now we have a stira in the halachas between Rav and Rameir. We should be passing like Rameir that there is a gzeiras kalim. Yet, Rabbi Yudah Marav says by the exact same situation, where you have the different shafts, some which are Azcharim, some which in the cave is, we're not Goyzer. So the Choyra, we see that this pshat doesn't work. And therefore says the Gemara, El Al Korchach, Reisha Pligim Gzeiras Tikra. This drasha, this explanation that we just gave of Gzeiras Kalim falls away. That was not the pshat in yesterday's Mishnah. The pshat in yesterday's Mishnah is like we learned Gezeiras Tikra. And there was a machloikis between Reb Yehuda and Reb Meir. The Sefer Pligim Gezeiras Tikra, the Efligi B'Tartizim Nilomali, both the Rashi's argument with Gezeiras Tikra, and the Sefer's talking about Gezeiras Tikra. And now the question is, we're back to square one. Why do we have to repeat the same machloikis twice? Both yesterday we said that Reb Meir holds you cannot be mesachech b'nesarim because of Gzeiras Tikra. Reb Yehuda says you can be mesachech b'nesarim. There is no Gzeiras Tikra. And today we repeat the same thing again, where Reb Yehuda says, according to Beis Hillel, you could either do pikbuk, or you can be noitel achas b'beintayim, but you don't have to do both. If you just do pikbuk alone, that would be sufficient, because these boards are perfect. No Gzeiras Tikra. The only problem is that they were not placed there l'shem tzel, or l'shem sukkah. Fine. Pick him up and put him down again, and that will accomplish the same purpose of tasa. It will now be a kiyum of tasa. So why don't we repeat the same halacha twice, the same machlokes twice? Everything and more, I'll tell you. It's very simple. Sefer Rabbi Yehuda de Ka'omalei the Rameir. Rabbi Yehuda is addressing Rameir, and there's a bit of a dialogue. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying, Amayko Asis bin Asarim. Why yesterday, Rameir, in the Mishnah did you say, don't use these four tefachim wide boards for sukkah? Mishum Gzeiras Tikra, says Rabbi Yehuda, I'll give you a partial concession. Hai Svara le Beis Shammai hu de'islu. Beis Shammai holds of that. Yes, it's true. Beis Shammai requires noitel achas b'beintayim. Absolutely. However, Beis Hillel like Gazvi, but Beis Hillel says you don't have to. And so therefore, Rameir, why are you disagreeing with me? V'yom Rameir, I'm sorry, Rabbi Yehuda. The reason why I disagree is because lo nechleku Beis Shammai u Beis Hillel bedover zeh. Both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai hold of the Gzeiras Tikra, not like you are saying. So therefore, the reason why we're repeating it is not because we have nothing better to do but repeat ourselves, but rather our Mishnah is a brief dialogue, follow-up on yesterday's machlokes, where Rabbi Yehuda says you could use Nasarim, Rabbi Meir says you cannot use Nasarim because of the Gzeiras Tikra. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Meir, don't argue with me. I have Beis Hillel on my side, so I'm right. Says Rabbi Meir, you're wrong. I have Beis Hillel on my side. And if we have a machlokes, what did Beis Hillel really hold? So now with this we have concluded the basic structure of today's Gemara, arguing what's pshat in our Mishnah. Pshat in the Mishnah is the same machlokes as yesterday, yog gezeiras tikra, nish gezeiras tikra. Now says the Gemara, this pshat works beautifully according to Rav. Hanich Rav the machlokes b'sheyesh behen arbo'o, the Rameir is like gezeiras tikra, perview the last like gezeiras tikra, which is why we learned the Gemara yesterday. El Shmuel the Amar b'she'ein v'hen arba'a machloikis. The machloikis is dafke by boards which were less than four. Aviyesh ben arba'a divri hakoil psula. Shmuel says that everybody agrees to the machloikis or to the gzeira of gzeira sikra. Everybody agrees that when you're dealing with boards of four tfachim, why there is a gzeira sikra. Zoyf pei bazoi. So then what's the machloikis in our Mishnah? Because Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah says, according to Beis Hillel, you don't have to remove the bad boards and fill it up with kosher schach, because he doesn't hold of Gzeiras Tikra. You just told me that according to Shmuel, everybody holds of Gzeiras Tikra. And our Mishnah has to be talking about boards of Arba'ah. How do I know? Because look at the top Rashi on the Amud. Tikra she'ein alei maziva, says Rashi. Stam tikra ben asarim she'esh ben Arba'ah. Since the Mishnah is talking about tikra stam, without giving any explanation, so we must be talking about boards of four. Boards of four, Shmuel said, there's no machloikis. In our Mishnah, we see that there is a machloikis. What's going on here? Everything in Mara, bitulei tikra kamifligi. Seifa b'may pligi, bitulei tikra kamifligi. Mar sava batla b'hachi, or mar sava b'hachi loy batla. What is the Gemara answering? What the Gemara is answering is, yesterday we were talking about building a brand new sukkah and putting nasorim on top of that sukkah. Everybody agrees, according to Shmuel, both Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, no good. Don't put new nasorim on top of your sukkah. You know why? Because a person who is an Amoretz is going to say, I don't understand what the rabbis are requiring me to do. They're telling me to go and build this shack of four walls and put on these four tefachim wide boards. Guess what? Look at my house. That's what my house looks like. I got four walls, and look at the boards at top. They're exactly the same boards, the same shipment, the same lot, the same lumber, the same configuration. I have the four tefachim wide boards on top of my bedroom, my living room, my dining room. It's perfect. What do I have to move out for? I'll just stay inside my house. Says the Mishnah yesterday, says Shmuel, everybody agrees, do not use new four tefachim wide boards on your new sukkah. But our Mishnah is not talking about a new sukkah. Our Mishnah is talking about an existing house where the tikra does not have plaster. And now all you want to do is fix it up to make a sukkah inside your house. Ah! On that, Beis Hillel says, if this person is such a Talmud Chacham that he knows that you have to go and be mefakpik, you cannot use the existing boards the way they are. You have to go and raise them, pull out some of the nails so that you can remove the nasarim from place and put them back on. What's the reason why? Because of the din of tasa v'loy mina osui. See, he already understands that there are basic differences between a house and a brand new sukkah. In this case, Rabbi Yehuda says, in the name of Beis Hillel, even though normally, learning the way Shmuel learns, if you have nasarim of four tefachim wide, you cannot use them for a new sukkah, but if the person is being mefakpek, or he's putting schach bein tayim, he is showing, I know the halacha, don't worry about my saying I'm going to stay home and I'm not going to go out into the sukkah. I talk, am staying home, but I'm staying home after I kosherize my ceiling. How? Either by doing the pikbuk or by doing the neutral achas bein tayim. And with this he's showing, this person doesn't need a gezeiras tikra because he's dealing with his house and he's staying in his house. Let's take a quick look at the final Rashi on our Gemara. Third wide line down below. Says Rashi, Betulei Tikra, Kloima, Amalach Shmuel, Le'oilam b'shiyesh ben arba'a v'loi hoise kan tikra metchila. If you're talking about you had boards of four tvachim wide, and you didn't have an existing ceiling to talk about. Now he's starting a brand new sukkah, putting on brand new schach. After the Rabbi Yehuda, apostle, he goes, Rina Misham Tikra, Shlo Yovoi, V'yeshiv Tachas, Koyreiz, Beisei, V'yoymar. Malize, Mali Chadosha, Manishtana, what's the difference between my existing house with these four boards and going over to the sukkah with these four tefachim wide boards? It's the same. Aval Hashem, but in our Mishnah, the Zutikra Hoysa, it was already a pre-existing ceiling. Ubali De Maisa, lastly, the Shem Sukkah. And he knows that I gotta do something to convert this hustle a ceiling into a kosher sukkah. I see that he's playing around with the planks at the top of his dining room at the top of his living room to move them from place to place and to pick him up and to put him down because he knows he's a din of tasulim nasi. Here this machlokes b'ligur b'yudav Reb Meir iikasula migzamishim tikra oiloi. Do I still have this gzeiris tikra? Reb Yudah Sover b'tulei tikra lebeishamai tzorach litel mebintayim avad. According to Beishamai, yeah. Says Reb Yehuda, I agree. Beishamai holds like Reb Meir. You have to go and be mevatel it and take out some of the schach. Even though I see that this person is a Talmud Chacham, he knows that you have to do pickpock. He knows that you have to, Alts is good, but Gazri, but we still have that Gezeira, Mishum Tikra, and that's why you have to remove a couple of the planks and put in kosher schach. Ubisil Sabri, King the Butler, since he was Mavato, the original Tikra, by removing some of the planks and removing the nails and picking up the planks and putting them down again. I say planks, the boards. So he's acknowledging that this tikra is no good, it's not kosher. So you don't have to make any new gzeiris tikra, as long as you did pickpock. You picked up some of the ceiling boards. You show that you know that I cannot stam make a sukkah here without doing anything. I have to do something. Because the tas of limen asui, so I don't have to worry about this person saying, I'll stay here in my home without doing anything. Because he knows you have to do something. Anyway, that was the machloikas we had in our Mishnah, a nice follow-up of yesterday's Mishnah. According to Rav, the two Mishnahs are exactly one and the same, and the purpose of today's Mishnah is just to add a little bit of dialogue between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. While according to Shmuel, the fact pattern in our Mishnah is different than yesterday's fact pattern, because yesterday we were talking about making a brand new sukkah, there's a Gzeiras Tikra, but today we're talking about refashioning your old ceiling into a kosher sukkah. Oh, says Rabbi Yehuda, once the person knows that you gotta do something, I don't have Exeter's Tikra anymore, and everything is fine. Zok the Mishnah. The next Mishnah and the next few lines in the Omid Beis are very, very straightforward. Zok the Mishnah, Mekarasu Kasi Bishpudin. What happens if you put spits in the form of metal spits that you use for roasting or barbecuing, you put such metal spits on top of your sukkah? Everybody knows metal spits are not kosher schach. Why aren't they kosher schach? Number one, they are mekabel tumah, but even more, they're not gidulei karka, they don't grow from the ground. So therefore, no good. Or what happens if you use aruchos hamita? Aruchos hamita means a couple of the bedposts. We're talking about a broken bed, so you're taking some of the remaining parts of the broken bed, some of the bedposts, the bed legs, some of the frame, and you're putting it on the top of your sukkah. Again, that's no good because it comes from a kli. And that kli was, in fact, susceptible to tumas medris because a bed can be used for mishkav and moishav, etc. If you use that, again, it's non-kosher schach. The shpudin is not kosher. The aruches hamita are not kosher. But what can you do to kosherize it? And yesh revach beinein kimoisan. If the space in between one shpud and another shpud, or between one bed post or bed leg and another bed post or bed frame, between one part and the other, if there's space kimoisan, exactly the same size, then ksheira, then it's kosher. What the Mishnah is suggesting at this point, that you don't need roiv kosher schach. 50-50 is also enough. You can leave the non-kosher schach, but make sure you also have kosher schach, and as long as it's exactly 50-50, yesh revach benin kamoisan, it's kosher. We're going to talk about this more in the Gemara in Mi'atz Hashem. The final halacha of the Mishnah is a halacha that we already learned a couple of times in our Masechta, ha-choyteit begodish lasis le-sukkah, ain't a sukkah. What happens if you have a haystack, and you decide, what do I need to go and build a brand new sukkah for? This haystack happens to be a nice, large haystack. It's at least 10 tefachim tall or more. It's at least 7 by 7 tefachim wide, but it's got to be much more than that, because rechotek means that you are carving out of this Kodesh enough room to have space of 7x7. So let's assume that this is a real big haystack. It would be impossible to find a needle in this haystack, because this haystack was a chvais 10 amos by 10 amos, and all I'm doing is carving out a small little doorway and a small little corridor inside the haystack. I'm going to put in my shulchan, my kisa, I'm going to sit there, and I have schach on top of the hay. I have walls of hay all around, says the Mishnah. No good, ain a sukkah. And we remember we had a couple of days ago in the Gemara, Rabbi Yankov said, b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, I'm not sure what the reason is, and the Gemara concluded that the reason was because of tasev loy mina osui. You could kosherize this Kaddish by taking the hay, which is on top of the haystack, removing it or pushing it up and down a couple of times, and that would take care of the tasev loy mina osui issue. But until you do that, it's not a kosher sukkah, because it was a pre-existing structure which was not made l'shem tzel and not l'shem sukkah. It's posel mishim tasev aloy minos. Today's focus is going to be on the Reisha of the Mishnah, where the Reisha of the Mishnah says that you put up these non-kosher shpudin or non-kosher aruches hamita. All you got to do to make this sukkah kosher is to put up an exact same amount of kosher schach. Says Yimar Lemit Yavi Tufta Ravuna Bered Rav Yishua. L'choyer, this is a stark akasha on Ravuna Bered Rav Yishua, the Itmar. Now, Ravuna Bered Rav Yishua is not referring to our case, but rather is referring to a case in Hilchos Shabbos or Hilchos Erevin, that you have a machitza on Shabbos that divides between one Rishus and another Rishus. And that machitza, for instance, if you have three walls, those three walls could make you a Rishus HaYochid or a Karmelis instead of a Rishus HaRab. So now what happens if in the walls you have porutz? Porutz means you have openings, you have doorways in this wall. There's nothing wrong with having a porutz. The only problem is you have to make sure that there's at least the same amount of oimed or even more. This is the Itmar, Paritz Ka'aymid. What happens if the wall that I have, the Gabi Hilcha Shabbos, part of it is Paritz? There are windows, there are doorways in this wall. And in fact, there are lots of windows and doorways in the wall. So much so that the amount of space which is open is exactly the amount of space which is standing wall. Paritz Ka'aymid. Rapapa Omar Mutter. Rapapa says, as long as it's 50-50, we're okay. As long as the majority is not parts. I don't need a majority of oimed, as long as I don't have a majority of parts. So if it's 50-50, mut, it's a good wall. If it would be sure, oma, no, usher, no good. You have to make sure that the oimed is at least 51%, and that the parts can then be 49%. Now, since our Mishnah said, em yesh revach beinayim kimoison, it's kosher, it sounds like 50-50 is enough. It's exactly like Rav Papa says. Is a kashin of Ravuna Bered Rav Yishua. Amlech Ravuna Bered Rav Yishua. My kemoison benichnas v'yotzei. Ravuna Bered Rav Yishua is saying a very, very simple thing. When you want to go and fill a space, you typically have to have a drop more space than the way you want to go and fill it. You want to go and fill in this space where there was previously a shpud or a ruchay samita. You want to make room to put in kosher schach. You can't go and be mitzamtzem and go and put in exactly 50%. You have to leave a drop more room to be able to wiggle the new schach into, to push in the schach. If you have exactly the same space, it's not going to go. If you have a letter that you want to put into your envelope, and the length, or the width, I should say, of the piece of paper, exactly the same width as the envelope, it's not going to fit in. Why not? They're both exactly the same. They're both 3 inches, 6 inches. Why doesn't it fit in? It's everybody knows. The envelope has to be at least a drop wider, so then you can fit in the letter. Otherwise, if it's not a drop wider, you're going to have to do something. either take a new envelope, or you're going to have to fold the letter in two, or fold at least on the side a little bit. It cannot fit in if it's exactly the same size. So therefore, says the Gemara, even though our Mishnah didn't say that, but it's understood that when we're talking about him, yesh revach beinayim kimoisan, that we're talking about, in fact, that the revach is a little bit more than the space occupied by the shbun aruches amita, because I have to have room to go and put in the schach. So therefore, by definition, we're talking about 51 against 49, says Rabbeinu Rabbi Yeshua. In fact, we do have to have a majority, and that's what our Mishnah is talking about, that there was a majority of kosher schach. Who says? Well, actually, Tamsen. Why do you have to say that that's pshat in the Mishnah, as opposed to the envelope, where there, you're right, you cannot squeeze in a 6-inch wide letter into 6-inch wide envelope. I agree with you. But over here, what we're doing is we have space on the top of the sukkah, open space. We're filling it with schach. If you wanted to, you could be mitzamtzem. Go and measure exactly the amount of shpudin that you have, and the space occupied by the Ruchai Samita, altogether it's occupying 3 feet. So now, set aside space of 3 feet, and fill in as much schach as possible. But the schach is, it's flexible. You're not talking about a situation of letters in envelopes where there's no flexibility built in. Here, make open area for 3 feet of kosher schach, and that put in as many branches and as many leaves and as many bamboo sticks that occupy and fill up that space. So you could be mitzamtzem. So therefore, again, we go back to square one. How does Rabbi Huna Rabbi Yeshua say that 50-50 is no good? Isn't our Mishnah talking also in the case of being mitzamtzem? So Amarabami. No, the Mishnah is talking about madif. You're right. If it was talking about tzimtzum, we'd have a good kash of Huna Rabbi Shur. Our Mishnah is talking about that the person intentionally was madif. Now, it doesn't say that in the Mishnah, but that's what it's talking about. That for his own convenience of being able to go and put in the kosher schach, he pushed the shpudin a little bit more to the side. So if he needed 3 feet of schach, he put 3 feet, 2 inches open area, filled it up with the schach, and then he could shift back and forth the shpudin and the schach to make room for everybody. But the point is, takatum and madif, he intentionally was madif, so that we have 51% kosher schach, 49% non-kosher schach, and therefore we have roiv, and it's kosher. Well, Rava says, Rava amar afilu teima b'she'ei madif. You know, you don't even have to come on to that. Even if theoretically you have exactly 50-50. It's talking about him, hoyin asunim shasi, noisun erev, Erev noisna and shasi. What Rava tells us is that when he fills up the open space with kosher schach, he doesn't do it vertical to vertical, but rather he does crisscross, vertical to horizontal, or horizontal to vertical. Meaning, many, many sukkahs, if you study their construction, especially as you get to larger and larger sukkahs, you can't just go put bamboo sticks on top. What you have to do is you have to have supporting beams that go from one wall to the other wall, and then on top of the supporting beams, you lay out your schach. And the reason why you have to do that, particularly if you have a very large sukkah, because otherwise, guess what? The bamboo sticks may not be long enough if you go to a hotel which has a sukkah, and you have a huge hotel which seats 100, 200, 300 guests. There are no bamboo sticks that have been created by Hashem which are long enough to go over a sukkah which has got to be 100 feet, 200 feet by 200 feet. They just don't exist. So what do? You have cross beams from one wall to another wall. Those will hold up the bamboo sticks. And when one bamboo stick ends, you start a new bamboo stick. And you put up 3, 4, 5, one after the other, vertical, one after the other, from one end of the sukkah to the other end of the sukkah. You have those supporting beams. Here too, the Gemara is saying is, I'm going to use the existing shpudim, or aruchai samita, as being those supporting beams. So that, I clear out, let's go back to our arbitrary example of before, that the shpudim aruchai samita occupy the space of 3 feet. I want to put up 3 feet of kosher schach. Instead of placing them vertical next to vertical shpudim, I put the schach horizontal to the vertical shpudim, so that they act as a crisscross. We have one on top of the other. Now, obviously, when you're putting on the kosher schach in the space crisscross, then you have to make sure that it's a little bit longer than the space, because if it's exactly the same size as the space, you put it in, it could easily fall out. So therefore, to suspend it over the sukkah, the new kosher schach has got to be a little bit longer than the space that you're trying to occupy. Why is it going to be longer? Because the two ends are going to be suspended on the supporting shpudim from the right and from the left, as well as from the ruchas amita from the right and from the left. So by definition, you are filling it up not with 50%, but with 55% or 60%, because it's got to be suspended over the non-kosher schach. And therefore, what Rav is teaching us is, we will add the non-kosher schach to the kosher schach, figure out what percentage is the kosher schach, more than 50%, because besides the space which is occupied by the kosher schach, you have that overlap of suspension over the non-kosher schach. So therefore you have 55% instead of just 50%, and therefore no problem with the kashrus of the sukkah, no longer a kasha on Rav Huna b'Reb Rav Yeshua. And we go to the final part of today's plat, where it says in the Mishnah, Oy Baruch HaSamita. Baruch HaSamita means you've taken a portion of a broken bed or a dismantled bed, and you've taken the frame, or you've taken a couple of the legs or bedposts, and you're putting that up as schach. No good, because that's part of a kli. Now remember, Rabbeisai, a kli, a normal kli, of course, is mekabel tuma. A bed is mekabel tuma because it's a clay kibble. It accepts a person lying on it. And in fact, beds not only have a din of regular tuma, but even have a din of medris, which is a very, very chomer dika tuma. But that's when the bed is constructed. Here we're talking about a bed that was dismantled, only parts of the bed. So Zoktimar Lima Mesaila Rabami Bar Tavumi Rabami Bar Tavumi Schocha Bibaloi Kalim Psula. Said Rabami Bar Tavumi, what happens if instead of putting on, remember we had in the Gemara earlier, you put sadinim, those are sheets, on top of the sukkah or on top of the schach to act as a protection against the sun, or you put that on top of a kila, on top of a bed to act as a kila, as a canopy. Sadinim are posel eschach. However, what happens if you have baloi kalim? Baloi kalim means that this large sheet is now worn out, and as the Gemara is going to explain tomorrow, we're talking now about matlonios. Matlonios are, we call in Yiddish, ashmata. These are small rags. Can you use small rags for the top of your sukkah? So Rabami Bar Tavumi, no you can't, because although they are shmatas, they still retain the same status as they were when they were full-fledged cloth, fabric, or sheets, and therefore baloi kalim are posel. Oh, so our case is also talking about baloi kalim. Baloi kalim meaning it's not a full-fledged bed, it's already a dismantled, broken bed. So we see from our Mishnah that it's still possible. It's the charayit of Ami Bar Tavumi. Something more, no, you have no raya. Ked Omer Reb Chanan, Omer Rebbe, Baruch Ushtei Kra'ayim, Biktzoro Ushtei Kra'ayim, Hachanami Baruch Ushtei Kra'ayim, Biktzoro Ushtei Kra'ayim. Just like Reb Chanan, Omer Rebbe said in a different context, it's talking about Aruch Ushtei Kra'ayim, or Ktzoro Ushtei Kra'ayim, same thing over here. Now what does that mean, Ketzora or Arucha Shtei Kra'ayim? So think to yourself, think what a bed looks like. A bed, most beds are not square, they're rectangular. Okay, and you have four legs to the bed. What happens if you cut the bed in half? You could either cut it vertically, or you could cut it horizontally in half. It doesn't make a difference. Each one of the two halves, by definition, is going to have two legs. Okay, now a half a bed with two legs, you really can't use for a bed or you can't use for a seat, because by definition, it's going to topple over. It's only half a bed. You know what you got to do? Place that half a bed against the wall. And moreover, take the A half a bed has a bit of a half a frame, the frame where we would normally put the mattress, or in the good old days where they would put straw. So those frames, you can conveniently take the two frames, which are made out of wood, typically, and have those inserted in two holes in the wall. In other words, take this half a bed, put it against the wall, measure it, now make two little notches in the wall, like little cubby holes in the wall, and have the two frames, which are half frames, insert those into those holes in the wall. Now, guess what? Now you can sit on the bed, and if you put in a few ropes, you can even lie on the bed, even though it's not a full-fledged bed, it's only half a bed. That's fine! If it's held up by the wall, then I have a good bed. Where do I have this? Where did Rav Chanan Omer Rabbi say this? Zokim on the top of the Omer Aleph Tezayin Omer Aleph. Mita mitamas chavila umateheres chavila divi Reb Lezer. Reb Lezer says that you can go and use a mita and be metamet even if it's in pieces, and you can metire it even if it's in pieces. You remember, Barry, that this is the same Reb Lezer that we had that talks about the taner shel achnoi. We have a taner which is made out of pieces, like Lego pieces. Exactly. Same Reb Lezer. So the same Reb Lezer said the same thing like on the mita. You have this huge mita. This mita is made out of like Lego pieces, a whole bunch of pieces that fit in together and make one large mita. What happens if at the moment they are in smaller pieces? Any of you that have bought furniture recently know that most people don't buy nice, beautiful, finished furniture. You buy much cheaper stuff called IKEA. Not to say anything bad about IKEA, I'm sure that's a wonderful company, but then you go and take it, you do it on your own, you put the pieces together. So what happens before you put all the pieces together? One of the pieces, which was, it had a clay kibble, and what happens was it touched a nevela or a dead cheret. So, says Reb Lezer, it's metama, says Reb Lezer, it's only metama chavila, only as one piece. Umetaheres chavila, you can only metire it as one piece. If it's still in pieces, it does not accept tuma. And if you want to toivel a mita in the mikvah, most beds are quite large. Most mikvahs would have difficulty putting in a large bed. So put in piece by piece, dismantle it, put it into the mikvah to Reb Lezer. I'm sorry, according to Reb Lezer, you could not dismantle it. You have to metar chavila. Chavila, like in Eretz Yisrael, they say, esek chavila, chavilat esek, means the whole package. So it's metam as a whole package, and it's metar as a whole package, says Reb Lezer. V'chum moimrim, metam is evorim, umetaheris evorim. No, you can metam it when it's in pieces, and you can metar it when it's in pieces. Now, how can you have tumah when it's in pieces? Because after all, it's not a kli. It's just like baloi kalim. It's shivrei kalim. Mind you, Amr Chanan, Amr Rebbe, aruchu shtei kra'ayim, uktaru shtei kra'ayim. That you have a half a bed which has two bed legs, two bed posts, and a half of a frame. Feitimara, my chazia, that's worthless. Why the Chacham say that it can be metame, it can become tahar? It's a broken kli. It's gornish. Says he, well, no. It's still roi to be used for a kli. How? L'mismachinu aguda. Go and have it supported by putting the remaining half against the wall. Make small notches, small holes in the wall. Put the two bed frames into those holes. L'mesav alayu. And now you could sit down on it. You have a makeshift chair. And if you want umishta ashli, you can go and spread out chavolim. The art scroll teaches umishta ashli, or you can put in chavolim. But I think it's easier, and from Rashi, I think it's mashma that you do both. That what? Not only do you insert these bedposts into the wall to hold up the frame, but also now spread out over the bedposts these chavolim. Chavolim means ropes. By putting ropes and strings around them, then after that you can put on top of that either a mattress or straw or boards, and then you can go lie down on it as a bet. So therefore, says the Gemara, that's the case of the Ruach HaSamita of our Mishnah. We have no raya to Ami Bar Tavyumi that Socha B'Baloi Kalim is Psula. It could be that you have worn out broken Kalim. They are no longer Mekabel Tumah. They would be kosher for Schach. The reason why the Ruach HaSamita over here are not kosher for Schach, because they still retain utility as a Kli. And Kalim, of course, are Mekabel Tumah, and therefore are not good for Tzchach on a Sukkah. We'll stop over here. Any questions? I see Barry has a question. Yes?
We had a long discussion the other day about the twigs, the yuzos on plants and produce.
Yes.
Whether it's kosher Tzchach or not kosher Tzchach. Here, we're talking about Kalim. Kalim, which are now no longer Kalim, but have... They were not made the shame tzach. They were made the shame of bed. They were made the shame of garment. If there's nothing here that's more puzzle, because the puzzle woman also even this. This was not made the shame tzach. This was made the shame kalim. Why is that not a consideration?
It's a major consideration. You're absolutely right. They are as non-kosher tzach as they get, just like the twigs that you were talking about, the yodais. Now you remember,
which aren't even Kalim. The point is that they're not even Kalim, and they're judging, are they kosher, are they not kosher? Here, these things were made entirely, were fabricated, and now they're just ice clean, but they still weren't tasseled, also the shame of Sukkah. No one makes shmatas, the shame of Sukkah. It's puzzling me that the Gemara is even entertaining this.
So the answer to your question is that you're absolutely right. The shmatas are not kosher, and the ruach hasamita are not kosher, and the twigs are not kosher, and the answer each time is the same. Make sure that roiv of the schach on top of the sukkah is kosher. Even if a miut is not kosher, it's going to become bottled in the roiv. If you remember the Mishnah, the Gemara that you were quoting the other day, we talked about you have the Soichi Te'enim and the Machpedesh Shotmarim, etc. What did Achirim say? Make sure that you have Roiv of the Kosher Schach against the Yodois and against the food. The food for sure is Mekabel Tumah, and even the Yodois, according to that man, the Yomar, are Mekabel Tumah, or it's talking about a case, we originally cut it down for the food. So you're right, it is absolutely non-kosher schach. Put on roiv schach, roiv kosher schach, and then you're okay. Getting back to our Mishnah, the exact same issue, you are talking about that you have Shpud and Aruche Samita, which are posel and posel and posel, Mahadrim and a Mahadrim posel, and Yesh Revach Beinei and Kamoisad, you gotta fill it up with kosher schach. Is 50-50 enough? That's the Machloikis of Papa Ravun of Rabbi Yeshua. But Rabbi Yeshua says, we're not talking about 50-50, we're talking about a roiv, either because it's madif, or because it's crisscrossing, but all because we have roiv of kosher schach. If we had a miut of kosher schach, no good, like you're saying, Barry. So we have the roiv is mavatel, the miut. Yes, sir. Yes, Barry.
I said another question, I was holding it up because I didn't know if we were going to address it, but we had the earlier Mishnah on Yudale, talks about Mitzachim,